You know, in the evenings, when we have an evening at home, one of the favorite things that I like to do is just kind of sit back and relax and watch some TV. Maybe watch a basketball game that's on or something. But I find that as I'm sitting there and watching whatever I may be watching, I get hungry. You ever get hungry? You guys are growing. You probably are hungry almost all the time, aren't you? Golly. And one thing that I really like is a party mix or a Chex Mix. And Linda, my wife Linda, makes the greatest Chex Mix. And I can just keep eating that stuff. And yeah, for the most part, there's good things in there for you because it's got whole grain cereals, and it's got peanuts and pretzels. And pretzels is one of my favorite snacks anyway. And now when Linda makes it, she's got the recipe up here. She just goes and she knows what to do. For me, if I would make it, I have to go buy a printed copy. And I have to take a look at this, and I have to follow it very closely and make sure that I follow it precisely in order to make it exactly the right way. And when I do, oh, it turns out wonderful. That's great. And I was thinking, you know, Jesus gave us a recipe also. He gave us a recipe for happy living. And he called that the Beatitudes. And the Beatitudes can be found in the book of Matthew. And there's 8 of them there. And basically, it's things that we can do to have a happy life and to be a really good person. Now, I'm not going to go through all 8 of those with you, but some of the ones that I thought were meaningful and important. And I like that word beatitude. I think that's a cool word because it's got the word be in it. And these are things that we should be. We should be this way in our daily lives. And it's got the word attitude because it's our attitude that helps us be like that. And one of them is to be merciful to people. And what that means is to be kind, to be loving, to help people when they're having problems. Helping people like maybe the homeless, helping people that you know might need a little extra money. And our church does a nice job of that. And hopefully as you grow up, you will as well. You could do it even at school. When you see one of your friends not having a good day, it's very easy to go up and sit down next to them and talk to them and make them you know feel better. Another one is to be peacemakers when people are fighting. And you know, it could go a long way if we would be more peaceful and not have wars and not have fights and try to get along with people. It doesn't mean that we're not going to see eye to eye on everything. We can work things out. We can talk about it and do it friendly. And another one is to have an attitude of doing what is right. And that's something that we all strive for. And your parents really work on that as they bring you into adulthood, is to be a good person, to do what's right. And so as we take a look at these, kind of keep these things in mind as we go through. And I kind of like how Jesus gave us that recipe. And Jesus also says that, you know, if you do these things, you will have a happy life. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for the Beatitudes. Please help us to follow your recipe for a happy and blessed life. In this we pray. Amen. Now, before you go, I do have some of Linda's famous Chex Mix to share with you. But I'm going to wait and give it to you after church. Because, 2 reasons. 1, I don't think it would be fair to be eating and crunching on that stuff in front of everybody. But the second reason is, I know if you brought it back to your parents, you know who'd eat most of it? Your moms or grandma. So I've got some in my bag for you, and I'll see you after church, okay? All right. Thank you.
Today's New Testament reading is 1 Peter 4, verses 9 through 11. Open your homes to each other without complaining, and serve each other according to the gift each person has received. As good managers of God's diverse gifts, whoever speaks should do so as those who speak God's word. Whoever serves should do so from the strength that God furnishes. Do this so that everything God may be honored through Jesus Christ. To him be honor and power forever and always. Amen.
Please rise for the reading of the gospel. Today's gospel reading is Matthew 25, verse 14 through 30. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who was leaving on a trip. He called his servants and handed his possessions over to them. To one he gave 5 valuable coins, and to another he gave 2, and to the other he gave 5. 1. He gave to each servant according to that servant's ability. Then he left on his journey. After the man left, the servant who had 5 valuable coins took them and went to work doing business with them. He gained 5 more. In the same way, the one who had 2 valuable coins gained 2 more. But the servant who had received the 1 valuable coin dug a hole in the ground and buried his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The one who had received 5 valuable coins came forward with 5 additional coins. He said, "Master, you gave me 5 valuable coins. Look, I've gained 5 more." His master replied, "Excellent. You are a good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I'll put you in charge of much. Come, celebrate with me." The second servant also came forward and said, "Master, you gave me 2 valuable coins. Look, I've gained 2 more." His master replied, "Well done. You are a good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I'll put you in charge of much. Come celebrate with me." Now the one who had received 1 valuable coin came and said, "Master, I know that you are a hard man. You harvest grain where you haven't sown. You gather crops where you haven't spread seed. So I was afraid, and I hid my valuable coin in the ground. Here you have what's yours." His master replied, "You evil and lazy servant. You knew that I harvest grain where I haven't sown, and I gather crops where I haven't spread seed. In that case, you should have turned my money over to the bankers, so that when I return, you could give me what belongs to me in interest. Therefore, take from him the valuable coin and give it to one who has 10 coins. Those who have much will receive more, and they will have more than they need. But as for those who don't have much, even the little bit they have will be taken away from them. Now take the worthless servant and throw him into the farthest darkness. People there will be weeping and grinding their teeth."
Let us pray. Heavenly God, may the words I speak be those you want spoken. May the words we hear be those you want heard. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, most of you are probably familiar with the Boy Scout model. Always be prepared. But you might not be so familiar with the Cub Scout model, which is do your best. Now, that's not just good advice for scouts. That's biblical advice for life. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, "Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might." And then in the New Testament, Colossians chapter 3, "Whatever you do, work at it with your heart. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men." The Message transition to this verse says, do your best. Work from the heart for your real master, for God. Each of these verses is speaking a quality of heart. willingness to give it your all, to go the extra mile. In athletics, we applaud it. In academics, we award it. In character, we admire it. In craftsmanship, we pay extra for it. In business, we promote it. In death, we eulogize it. In Christianity, we strive for it. We strive to do our best because we know that God's reward rewards effort, excellence, and endurance. That promise is found in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 8, which says, "The Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does." One of these days, in the presence of everybody we've ever met and everybody we've never met, the Bible says we will receive the praise of God. Those who never heard the cheers of men will hear the applause of heaven. The small will be great. The forgotten will be remembered. The unnoticed will be crowned, and the faithful will be honored. What will God be looking for on that day? The answer to that question, I believe, is revealed through a short story, which is told by the master storyteller in Matthew 25, 14 through 30, and it's commonly called the parable of the talents. Jesus starts the story by telling of a master who went on a long journey. But before he left, he called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver, which is also known as talents, to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it according to their abilities. Then he left on his trip. When he returned, he discovered that the servant with 1 talent had done nothing with his money. The servant with the 5 and 2 talents had doubled their money. So the master was full of praise and said to these 2, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount. So now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let us celebrate together." I think the words of the master in this verse tell just what God will be looking for on that day of reward and what it means to do our best. First, doing our best requires effort. Notice that God didn't say, "Well said," "Well thought," "Well supervised," or "Well criticized." He said, "Well done." The Bible is a book about doing. In fact, words like do, deed, deeds, and done occur in the New Testament 589 times. That's more than twice per chapter. A Chinese proverb says, "Be first in the field and last to the couch." Even a mosquito doesn't get a slap on the back until he starts working. Just like the servants in the story, God has given each one of us a variety of talents, and he expects us to use them. You weren't created just to eat, breathe, and take up space. God put you on earth to make a contribution. The first 2 servants were rewarded because they had done something with the talents the master had given them. But listen to the 3rd servant's excuse. "Master, I know you are a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth." That servant did nothing with the talent he was given because he was afraid to fail. Rather than try and fail, he chose not to try at all. His fears were unfounded, though, because God knew exactly what he was capable of. In the parable, Jesus says, each was given money based on his ability. God knows what you're capable of, too. The Bible says, For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Jesus Christ, so we can do good things He planned for us long ago. You are God's handcrafted work of art. You are not an assembly line product mass-produced without thought. You are a custom-designed, one-of-a-kind, original masterpiece. God carefully mixed the DNA cocktail that created you, and God never wastes anything. He wouldn't have given you abilities, interests, talents, gifts, personality, and life experiences unless He intended you to use them for His glory. The cartoon character Calvin from Calvin and Hobbes had it right when he said, God put me on this earth to accomplish a certain number of things. And he followed that up with, right now I'm so far behind I'll never die. And a lot of us are in the same boat. If we want to hear Jesus say, well done, then we need to start using our talents and abilities He's given us to do the good things He planned for us. Doing your best also requires excellence. Notice that the king said to his servants again, well done, my good and faithful servants. There are two key words here, good and well. We often use them interchangeably, but the first, well, refers to the quality of work, and the second, good, refers to the quality of character. Both are synonymous with excellence. Charles Swindell once said, excellence is a difficult concept to communicate because it is easily misread as neurotic perfection or snooty sophistication, but it is neither. On the contrary, it is the stuff of which greatness is made. It is the difference between getting us by and soaring, that which sets apart the significant from the superficial, the lasting from temporary. When God finished His work of creation, He said it was very good. About Jesus, the Bible says, He has done all things well. Christ commanded us, if a soldier demands that you carry his gear for a mile, carry it 2 miles. When you go that extra mile, you're less likely to get stuck in traffic. No matter what we're doing, God wants us to give it our all and to do it with excellence. Sir Walter Raleigh attended a prestigious boarding school when he was a youngster. He was an excellent student and wanted to be number one in his class. However, one lad always finished ahead of him, so he was determined to get the secret. Each night when he prepared for bed, he looked across the grounds that separated his room from that of his competitor and noticed that his light was still on. One night, he noticed that the other boy studied only about 15 minutes longer than he did. After that, Sir Walter Raleigh studied an extra 20 minutes every night. At the end of the year, he was the number one student. As someone once said, the difference between ordinary and extraordinary is that little extra. That's what it means to do your best. So doing your best takes effort, excellence, and finally, endurance. Let's look one last time at that verse. Well done, my good and faithful servant. The Bible has a lot to say about faithfulness. Faithfulness is a fruit of God's Spirit listed in Galatians 5, verse 23, and Jesus even commanded, be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Dictionaries define faithfulness as either enduring in affection or allegiance or following through with a commitment regardless of difficulty. In other words, someone faithful is dependable, trustworthy, and firm in keeping promises or carrying out their responsibilities. In short, faithfulness is stick-to-ness. There's a story a pastor once told about Whitney's, a living example of this. And his story goes like this. I witnessed a living example of this when I was in high school, attending a local Church of Christ. Some adolescent prankster, probably named Chris, thought it would be funny to steal the T off the church's sign so it read, Church of Chris. One of our church leaders, an elderly man named Bob Lindberg, who was a very talented woodworker, simply carved a new T and replaced it. But when we showed up to church the next Sunday, the T had been stolen again. So Bob returned to his wood shop, carved another one, and replaced it. But again, the next Sunday, the T was gone. This went on for several weeks. So Bob started turning out T's by the dozens and stopped by the church every day to replace the stolen letters until finally one day, Bob stopped by the church and found a lawn and leaf bag full of T's sitting by the door with a note that simply said, "You win." That kind of persistence is important in every area of life. Lee Strobel once shared a story, similar story of enduring faithfulness. One day, Lee was about to baptize a woman during church at Willow Creek. He asked her, "Have you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?" She smiled and said, "Oh, yes, I have." Then Lee did something strange. He turned to her husband, who was with her, and asked, "Have you received Jesus?" He looked at Lee for a moment and then suddenly burst into tears. He said, "No, I haven't, but I want to right now." So right there, in front of thousands of people, that man repented of his sins, confessed Christ, and Lee baptized the two of them together. After church, the woman came running up to Lee, threw her arms around him, and just kept saying, nine years. Lee said, "Who are you, and what do you mean, 9 years? She replied, "That's my brother you just baptized, and I've been praying for that man for 9 long years without a hint of spiritual interest. But look what God did today." Now there's a woman who's glad she didn't stop praying after 8 years. She stuck with it. She was faithful, and it paid off. That's what it means to do your best. We strive to do our best because we know that God rewards effort. One of these days, the King is going to return. On that day, you will be evaluated and rewarded according to what you have done with the talents God gave you. That means everything you do, even simple daily chores, can have eternal implications. If you've accepted Christ's kingship over your life, you can honestly say to Him, "Lord, I did my best with what you gave me." Then you'll hear these faithful words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Next, you'll receive a promotion and be given even greater responsibility in heaven. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. And finally, you'll be invited to the party. Let's celebrate together. Let us pray. Heavenly Lord, we all want to celebrate with you one day. Let us be the people you want us to be. Let us use those talents you have given us to help others, to make disciples for you. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.